Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on Credit Card Rewards Travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back to Wonderland on Points. I am your co-host, Mary Ellen, and we are so happy you are here. We have actually not recorded for a couple of weeks because we were out of town. Both of us went out of the country traveling. And so it's actually been a hot minute since we sat down to record an episode.
I know. I was just thinking how happy this makes me to be here with you because we usually record multiple times every single week. So to go many weeks spaced out without doing it just felt a little sad.
I know.
I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I don't know anything more than everybody else following your Instagram stories knows. And I keep it that way on purpose. I like hearing it for the first time on the pod.
Yeah, but real world. You're back in the real world and that hits hard, right?
Boo. It hits so hard. So going back to work, even a job that I love after traveling, I'm just a big baby, but it is tough.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get back into it. I was on the treadmill today, and in our trip in Europe, including London, which is what we're going to talk about today, I mean, we were logging over 20,000 steps a day because, you know, we don't do anything slow. You know, we put in the steps, and I was on the treadmill, like, barely going 2 miles and was like, ugh, these steps are way less fun than my steps around Europe. Why are they so much harder? So many less of them. I was also listening to a podcast, and it was people that I like on the internet. I like everybody who was on this podcast, not a travel podcast too. Let me just throw that out there. Not a travel podcast. The only podcasts I typically listen to are comedy podcasts. I just like funny, entertaining things. I like sitcoms. I like, you know, I like sitcoms over dramas. I'm just that kind of person. I like lighthearted, fun stuff. And I was listening to this podcast and I was like, man, this is boring. And I like all of the people being interviewed. And I hope that we are not boring. Guys, please let us know if we need to liven things up. I was reflecting, listening to this podcast. I was like, why am I bored? I love all of these people. I hope we're not boring.
You know, I try really hard to reel myself in because anybody who's met me in real life knows it's like 1,000 miles a minute, 20 different directions. But I don't always feel fully comfortable like letting that side of myself out on the podcast because I feel like we're here to teach people things. And so I feel a little bit more like I put on my professional hat on the podcast. So if you guys want an occasional episode or
unhinged,
two without the professional
house. We unhinged, want it unhinged.
Where we're just where it's more like what it's like hanging out with the two of us together in real life, which is just, you know, I feel like when we have Lindsay on, people get to see our personalities.
Yeah, our true selves come
because
out.
Because the three of us together, wild.
You learn more when you're having fun. Have you ever been in a class and you have a teacher who is, you know, has a little personality, it's a lot more fun.
Truth.
So I want our personalities to come through on the podcast. Mm. I hope that they do. Sorry for that side tangent, but you know, that's just what came to me today when I was marching on that treadmill, wishing I was still in Europe and trying to listen to that podcast.
That's a good word. It's a good word. You guys let us know in the Facebook group.
If we need to liven it up.
I'm scared for this feedback.
All right.
You're so boring. We hate you.
Okay. Well, don't tell us that, but you know,
No, you can keep that to yourself. Constructive only.
Yeah. Well, let's get into London. I'm excited to share. You guys know that we had a London Part 1 episode earlier this summer after Joanna's trip to London. We will link that in the show notes so you can find it quickly. If you're planning your own trip to London, you might want to listen to both episodes because we did completely different activities. So you can kind of listen to both and get a feel for what might work well for you on your trip.
Mm-hmm. Or you could, you know, take little bits and pieces, put them all together. We did things super differently. And of course, I'm taking a teen and my mom, you have three smaller children. And so that, you know, that perspective matters in terms of what you choose to do or what you choose not to do. So I really can't wait to hear about it. Let's talk first about getting there. So your flights, what did you pay? Which airline did you book? And how was it?
Okay, well, this is something we did somewhat the same. We both flew Virgin Atlantic, although we had very different experiences because I was in economy, which was completely sufficient, people. I know that in the points and miles world, you feel bad if you fly economy because you just hear so many people talking about first class, business class. Well, I'm here to tell you that economy gets you there too, and you still have wonderful memories with your family. So we Heck flew yes. economy, and it was fine. I do have a good tip though. So
Ooh.
I looked at the seating map before we left, and I had a very weird seat map, and I was confused because on these big international flights, a lot of times there's three rows of seats, right? There's on either side of the plane, there's a couple seats with a window, and then there's mm-hmm. a middle section, you know, three big sections on these international yes. planes. So the middle section where we were sitting at the back of the plane, it went from having four seats, to all of a sudden there were three seats. And it was split weird. There was like one seat by itself and two seats, and it looked like a hole in the middle. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. I don't know what this is. So I sent a message over to one of our plane expert friends. If you guys remember Allison from
Point
Boarding Pass, I shot Allison a message. I sent her a picture. I said, hey, you know planes better than anybody. I'm flying Virgin mm-hmm. Atlantic. This is the map I'm seeing. What does this mean? Because I'm trying to figure out strategically which seats to choose for my family. And she said, no. She found a better image. She says the back of the plane narrows. The body of the plane narrows a little bit. So at some point it goes from four seats to three, but there's not a weird gap in the middle. It's just three seats in a row. So I chose that, and I had two kids by the window, and then three, my husband, the toddler, and me in the section of three. And we were the very first row of three behind a row of four in front of us. And that ended up being such a little hack because I had a gap beside me where our row was narrower than the row in front of us, and so I had more leg room. I could stretch my legs out. And so in the end, I felt like I had an extra legroom seat, even though I was in the back of the plane, regular standard economy. So take a look at those seat maps, people. You can sometimes figure out a little solution.
What did you use? Which website to look up the seat map?
At first I was just on the Virgin Atlantic website and I was choosing our seats. And so I was looking at their seat map. That one was confusing to me, the image that they had. So that's when I messaged our friend Allison at Points to Boarding Pass. So she came up with whatever other image. I'm not sure what resource she used on the internet, but she is a wealth of knowledge. So if you ever have a question about an aircraft, definitely consider shooting her a message.
Yeah, guys. And when she was on the show, she told us about the seat map website Aerolopa. So I'm wondering if that's where she found that. So definitely seat maps are very, very important. And before you know it, you'll be an aviation geek and get really excited about which aircraft you're flying and all of the things. It happens slowly. You just wake up one morning and you realize this is who I am now.
It is. I love her for that. I love that she is a airplane geek. I think that's fantastic. But okay, that's amazing. Didn't tell you how much the tickets were.
No, you did not.
Let me back up to that. So this was five people, my husband and I, three kids, five people For these flights, we paid 43,000 points. So that is less than 10,000 points a person to fly to Europe. 43,000 points. And then the taxes and fees were $365.50. What I decided to do, I did the points. I'm fairly certain I used Amex points, but so many different banks transfer to Virgin Atlantic that I can't seem to find record of it or remember which currency I transferred from. I know I used a 30% transfer bonus. That was the points. I ended up paying for the taxes and fees when I booked the flight with my Capital One Venture X and decided to go ahead and wipe out the taxes and fees with my Capital One miles so that we paid $0 out of pocket for the flights. And the cash price of these flights was just over $3,200. So anytime you save over $3,000, it feels good.
It feels amazing. And I want to, just for any newbies out there, if you're racing with Capital One, you can, that $365 would be 36,500 points. Just to keep that in your head when you're thinking of like, okay, if I wanted to be doing this, how many miles would I need to be earning? Right now, Capital One Venture and Capital One Venture X have a sign-up bonus of 75,000 points. That is a fantastic card. Those points go a long way. If you're transferring them, you can get some great deals. Or if you just want to use them the way that Mary Ellen did to completely bring your travel expenses to zero out of pocket, that's kind of my favorite way to use those. Those are kind of my supplement miles for getting things as close to zero as possible. So we will put links to both of those cards in the show notes for this. And if you have any questions about them, never, ever, ever hesitate to reach out to us because it's a fantastic card. And it's actually the one we recommend people start with now that things are very complicated in the Chase world.
Absolutely. I use the VentureX a lot on this trip because even before we got on the airplane, we were flying out of an airport that had a Capital One lounge. And as of this moment, I'm still able to get, my husband is an authorized user on the card, the two of us are able to get our whole family in the Capital One Lounge. That is changing in 2026. But for any trips booked this fall for the rest of this year, that still works. So we took advantage of that. My kids had so much fun in the Capital One Lounge. I was like, enjoy it while you can, guys, because it's coming to an end. But they gobbled up all kinds of food and just had a great time. So that was a fun use of Capital One VentureX card benefits. And then in France, we used our Capital One VentureX travel credit to book a hotel, not a mainstream chain hotel. So we'll do a whole nother episode about France, but I use that card multiple times to make things happen on this trip. So I'm a big fan of the Venture and the VentureX cards.
Yep. Same, same, same. Can't wait to dig into the second half of your trip as well. It sounds so magical. Okay. Why don't you tell everybody really quickly what airport you flew out of and into, and then we'll move on.
Yeah. Out of Dulles, that is IAD. It's a Washington, D.C. area airport. It was a direct flight over to London Heathrow. From London Heathrow, we rode a train into London.
Okay. And did you end up springing for an Oyster card, or did you just do the tap on your phone, or how did you do it?
No, we did not get Oyster cards around London. It is so easy to tap with your phone. You don't have to figure out anything ahead of time. If you have credit cards loaded into your iPhone wallet, you just scan them when you get on the bus or scan them when you get on the train. It is so easy. So we did that. We also did not do the Heathrow Express. When you land in London Heathrow, you see all these signs for the Heathrow Express, which is a train that will take you directly into London super fast. We didn't spring for that because a big trip like this, there are things that we splurge on and there's things that we save money on. We took the regular underground train into the city. So it takes a little bit longer, but it's a lot cheaper. And when you're paying for five people, that adds up. And then on London transportation, my two youngest, the 3-year-old and the 10-year-old, are free. So we didn't have to pay for them. It was just my husband, my 12-year-old, and myself. And that changes throughout Europe. In different countries, the age cutoff is a little bit different. But in and around London, 10 and under are free for public transportation. So keep that in mind.
You would never catch any 10-year-old being free at anything in the U.S. And I love it.
Yeah, it was nice. It was really, and sometimes, you know, it depends. It's always a little tricky on transportation because sometimes you get on the bus and the guy's just like waving you through with the stroller and you're like, do I need to tap for this other kid or do I not? My 12-year-old is about the same size as my 10-year-old. So sometimes they just kind of were waving us through. So I think we tried to do it the right way and always pay for the right people. But sometimes they're just really like, whatever, just get on the bus.
Just get on. I got places to be.
Places to be.
Amazing. Did you look at your statement afterwards to see if you actually got charged for your bus rides or train rides? Because I never did.
What?
Just saying.
You never did?
I tapped it. I don't have a single charge from any London transportation.
What?
That's I know.
Crazy.
Tapping my phone and Juliet tapping her phone all over London to go places, never ever got an actual charge on our cards. But it let us in every single time. The trains, the turnstile would open. Like,
well, now I feel like I have to look. One weird thing is we always had to do most of the throughout London and the other places we went in Europe, they wanted Visa cards. And so my husband only had one Visa card loaded up in his wallet, but I had three. And so when we would go to different places, he would make me tap and I would use a different card for each person, right? So I would tap my Chase Sapphire through and then I would tap my Venture X for the next person. And then I had a business card I might tap for the next person. And that's how we did a lot of the trains throughout Europe. Okay, now yeah, we had that statement. I'm going to see if I
you have to see. We had, because, you know, my kid is almost 14, she has a phone. So we each had our own, which I do think makes things more simple because then you can just set one card as your electric transit card and you don't even have to open your phone, choose a card or anything. You tap your totally closed off phone on the thing and it lets you through and then apparently doesn't charge you. But that might have just been me. I don't know. And my kid.
Hilarious. I will say, I don't know. I have a lot of weird small charges that I know are buses or trains, but I don't know what country they're from because we went to four different places. So it's hard to tell you at the moment. But one thing to note is with the phone wallets and credit cards, I got to thinking, and I shared this on my Instagram story, we went to four different countries. Some of the towns were not big cities. Not once did I take out a physical credit card to pay for anything. Mm-hmm. I was able to tap and just use my phone wallet for absolutely everything in Europe. And I know sometimes people stress, like, what cash do I need to bring? What cards do I need to bring? If you have them loaded up in your phone, I mean, I would say bring one or two physical cards just in case somewhere doesn't take them. But for the most part, we absolutely did not pay with anything except for phone tapping on the entire trip.
Yeah, I had the exact same experience, 100%. Even at like sit down restaurants, they will bring you out a thing to tap on. So yeah, it's the way of the future.
It's nice. It's easier.
It is nice. It is useful. I hate digging for cards when I'm in a hurry, especially getting on and off transportation. Like I was wearing my phone around my body because I got a phone case that hooks into a lanyard that just hangs so that my phone was always like on the front of my body at all times. Very touristy looking. But that makes it so easy when you're getting on a bus or a train. It's just right there. You're not realizing that you didn't get your card out yet and freaking out because there's people behind you. And I don't do well in moments.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It's too much pressure.
Can I just say also that prior to this trip, when we were getting ready to go on this trip, I realized that my husband had never put any credit cards in his phone. He did not know how to use the wallet on a phone. And it brought me so much joy to get to be the one to teach him that because he's very smart. I'm not going to get into how smart he is, but he's a smart cookie, right? One of those smart cookies. He's good with technology. He knows everything before I know it. Well, not this time. I got to teach him. And now he told me when we got back, he had a new credit card in the mail because he just signed up for an American Airlines credit card. And the new card came in and I said, oh, here's your card. And he said, I don't need it. I already put it in my phone. He's not going back. I converted him to a phone user and I taught him. So I'm pretty proud of that.
It's so useful and it's extremely useful when you have a spouse. One person keeps the physical card. One person loads the digital right. card. I have even been able to, the family that I work for, I have their card loaded into my Apple wallet. So if someone else has the physical card for whatever they needed it for that day, if I need to get them something or put gas in their car or whatever, I still have it. It's amazing. Technology is crazy. Okay. We're really getting ADHD down the rabbit hole right now. So, okay, back on track. So you guys did actually, you didn't go the hotel route. In London, because you would have needed to book two rooms and it's high season. So what did you end up doing instead? And you said you took the train into town. So kind of tell us about how that process went, where you had to go. Did you have to store your bags? Was your room ready? Just go all through all the things there.
We did. So we hit the ground running because most flights to London are overnight. You get there in the morning. Because we were doing an Airbnb, we were not able to access it right when we got there. So we needed to store our bags. And I know that you talked about nanny bag when you mm-hmm. went to London. And so we looked into nanny bag and we used nanny bag in a couple places on our trip. But that first time in London, it worked out. We were at the London Bridge station is where we started our journey, and that's where we rode the bus to and from our Airbnb most days. So there, there was actually something called Stasher luggage storage. Works just like nanny bag. It was at one of these little London gift shops that sells all things London sweatshirts and keychains and all of that kind of stuff. But it was Stasher luggage storage. So look that up. There's one right by the London Bridge station, which is also right near Borough Market. So that's kind of how we started our trip.
Yeah. And did you say online it was $6 per bag? I thought I saw that in your stories and I thought, wow, that's really good because at the King's Cross station, it was way more than that when I was looking it up for what we would have paid to store at King's Cross.
Looking at my spreadsheet of notes, we have written down about $5 per bag. Not sure what the exact amount is, but in our thorough notes that my husband has made of all the activities, costs, and everything, about $5 a bag for Stasher.
That's incredible.
At that location anyway. You know, I'm sure it varies.
Okay, so talk to us about where you stayed, how you paid for it, what you thought. Would you recommend this specific location?
Yeah, I'm happy to link our the Airbnb, the exact one, just in case someone would like to choose one that someone they know, you know, via podcasting has stayed at before. I'm happy to link it because we had a good experience. It was basic. I wouldn't say that it was anything fancy, but it did the job. It was one bus that we hopped on by Tower Bridge Station, rode it down, you know, six or seven stops. Where we were, there was a grocery store right at the bus stop, and the Airbnb was right at the bus stop. So it was very easy to go get some groceries for the first couple days. We did save money by just making food at the Airbnb in the kitchen the first couple nights rather than buying meals out and also breakfast. So we tried to cut down on food cost in that way. The Airbnb was in like an apartment building that is predominantly where people live. It wasn't, you know, all vacation rentals. There was no air condition, which is pretty par for the course in Europe. So we expected that. They did have fans. The bathrooms were redone, so they were very nice. Everything about it was completely sufficient for what we needed. Nothing particularly spectacular, but sufficient. It was $295 per night. Whoa. Now, you know, I couldn't get a hotel room for $295, much less two of them each night. Because we had a family of five, we would have had to book two hotel rooms. In London, hotel rooms are expensive. And so it just in high season, it came out so much cheaper to go the Airbnb route. To cut down on the cost even more, I cashed in Fetch gift cards, Upside from gas payments. I've been, you know, collecting money on Upside. Cash those in for $195 worth of Airbnb gift cards. So that brought the total down. So for two nights, these are the only nights, the entire nine-night trip in Europe that we actually paid anything out of pocket for. And we did pay $395 out of pocket.
And you didn't erase that. You just used it as a points earning opportunity.
Yeah, in the end, we did not erase it. I talked to my husband back and forth about it. He is very much, he knows that the value, we all know that the biggest value you can get from your miles, from your points, is when you transfer them. So he's always right. Very hesitant for us to just use the purchase eraser. I wanted to, just because I was like, man, you know, the activities on this trip, food, those things are going to cost a lot of money. Let's just wipe this out. And he was like, no. Don't. So in the end, we voted, but his vote won for that. And we didn't wipe it out. But for nine nights in Europe, only paying $395 total is still pretty good.
Wild. It's actually wild, especially for a family of five. That's absolutely bananas. And there are ways that people could have maybe gotten a 5x multiplier on this, depending on which card they're using. There are cards where you might be able to get an Airbnb gift card. For example, you could get four times your points if you bought an Airbnb gift card with your American Express Gold card at a grocery store, because you get that 4x multiplier at a grocery store. So there are strategic ways to earn a little bit more if you are going to have to come out of pocket for an Airbnb. Okay, let's talk activities, because you did totally different activities than me. I did the Go City Pass, but you did not use a Go City Pass or anything like that. So tell us what you did. Tell us what things cost.
Yes. So we kicked off our activities with a free activity, my favorite kind of activity.
My favorite.
Yes. We went to the top of Horizon 22, is a viewing platform. It's at the top of a building it's the highest building in London, the tallest building in London. You think of the Shard, but I guess it's actually taller than the Shard. So this gives you a full panoramic view of London. And it is free, which blows my mind, because we go to New York City a lot. We love New York City. We've been to the top of, you know, the One World Observatory. You can go to the top of the Empire State Building. There's a bunch of buildings that you can go to the top of, but they charge a pretty penny per person for you to go up to the top of those buildings. And this was every bit, I mean, it was very similar to those experiences. Wow. Maybe a little bit, not as many bells and whistles, but the truth is it was a gorgeous, stunning view, and it was a completely free activity. My kids love tall buildings. My son especially loves to go to the top of viewing platforms. So this was a huge win for us, and it was great to do it on our first day because, I mean, you could do it either way, but for us, it helped us orient us to the city, because we could see
the layout.
Yeah, the layout of the city. We had a bird's eye view to see all of the things from overhead, and then they were things we were going to go visit. So it got the kids excited. Oh, we're going to go over here to Tower Bridge. We're going to go over here and see Big Ben. And so in Buckingham Palace, you know, you can see all the things. So I highly recommend that activity. You can get tickets. Even though it's free, you still have to get tickets, because I don't want it overcrowded. The tickets can be reserved online before your trip. However, they come out. I remember we woke up, I don't know if it's at noon. I have it in my Instagram stories. Noon London time, which for us was like 6 a.m. or maybe they come out at 11 a.m. Whenever they are London time come out, it was like 5 a.m. our time. And we're East Coast, so it'd be even earlier if you were West Coast. But we woke up and we made sure it's a couple weeks out before our trip, that the day that they were released, we were trying to get those tickets. We got them. They sell out quickly. But if you miss that opportunity or you don't want to do that, the same day we went, even though the tickets were gone instantly, within a few minutes, the tickets online were gone when we got them, they have in-person tickets. So you could have walked up that same day and gotten tickets. I was like, we stressed so much about this, and we could have just walked up, you're telling me? I guess it's
that's crazy.
we like to know for sure that something's going to work out, right? So for it was sure. helpful to know we already had them. We didn't have to worry about whether they were sold out for the day. So I say sold out again, they're free, but if all of them are taken. So it was not crowded. They do a good job, I guess, of only allowing so many tickets to go out. And I highly recommend that activity, a nice free activity that I think most people of all ages will enjoy, all ability levels. You know, it's an elevator, so it's accessible for everybody.
That's awesome. I think it's hilarious, though, that same day thing. I also love how different our episodes are, and then I'm like, well, I forgot to book anything, and I was kind of doing it like 2 days before we left. And you're like, I woke up at 5 a.m. several weeks out to get this ticket right when it released. Yes. Very different. Very different.
Okay, guys, we want to pause for a minute and tell you about our sponsor, FlyKit. You have heard us talking about FlyKit this summer. FlyKit is revolutionary for preventing jet lag. It is the perfect tool for your trip to make sure that you maximize the fun and enjoyment of all of that hard planning time you put in to trip planning. So let's tell you about FlyKit and why we love it.
Yes, you guys, this was developed by a human enhancement expert for the U.S. military. So you know it's got to work. And Mary Ellen, you were able to put it to the test on your way home from your big Europe trip that we're in the middle of telling everyone about right now.
Yes, and I couldn't believe it's so cool. So when you guys get this thing, you get the FlyKit, it has you download the FlyKit app. When you go into the app, it has you personalize it so that they make a plan for your body. It even asks, you know, how tall you are, how old you are. Then it asks you things like your diet. Are you on a ketogenic diet? No, girl. Mama ate all the bread in France. Not on a keto diet. But I could tell it that, and then it could personalize a plan for me. So while I was on the flight home, it would pop up on my phone, even though my phone was not connected to the Wi-Fi of the plane, and tell me, hey, take a Protect, take a Sustain. And it's these supplements that are perfectly formulated to help your body not have inflammation when you're on the plane, to help your body start calming down at the right time when you need to take a nap. All of that stuff. It is amazing.
Yeah, it really helps to keep your circadian rhythm in the balance that it's supposed to be in so that when you get off of a flight, you don't miss a beat. You can immediately go into whatever you need to do. Another thing that I really love about it is you truly do not have to think. It does the thinking for you, all the way down to telling you, like, now is the time to eat protein. Now is the time to drink your coffee or your circadian reset beverage. I love that because when I am traveling, my mind is on the itinerary. It's on my daughter. It's on getting everybody where they need to be. I do not have the time to be trying to figure out when I need to do things. So I absolutely love that this personalized app is like, hey, hi, it's me. It's time to take this so that you can feel great when you arrive. If you guys want to feel great after your next international flight, make sure you head to the link in our bio where you can grab all of the FlyKit goodies. You know this is tried and true and trusted by us because we never recommend anything to you that we don't try and love ourselves.
Even if you're just going to California, East Coast to West Coast, this could really come in handy, guys. So give FlyKit a try, then report back. Tell us how it helped you because we would love to hear testimonials from you guys. Okay, let's get back to the episode.
Okay, I love it. So you also did Tower Bridge, which of course I saw Tower Bridge pretty close because Tower of London is not far from right. Tower Bridge at all. And I took the Uber boat, which goes right there as well. But you guys, I think, actually went up on Tower Bridge.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we went
like the,
up.
The top part?
Yeah, we went in it. So you go through it. And it's neat because they have clear floor openings. So when yeah. you're crossing the bridge, there are some cutouts that's clear glass. And so you can see the cars and the buses and everybody underneath you. And it plays mind games with you. It is really scary. Fun, weird mind situation. And to see my toddler like almost go into it, but then not, you know, like, can I trust this? And even adults, full-on adults are like, I don't know if I can trust this or not. And you have to kind of overcome this mental challenge to go across it. But that was fun. It wasn't, I would say, that was probably the most fun part of it, of the activity.
Okay. And did this have a cost or was this a free activity?
It's not free, but it's not terribly expensive either. It was $59 for all five of us, for the family. So just over $10-ish dollars a person is what it's averaging. So not one of our super expensive activities, but every little bit adds up. So it does have a cost. It's not something I don't think I would ever feel the need to do it again, but it was cool to do one time. It's such a, you know, quintessential London. I mean, Tower Bridge is one of the staples of London, right? That's one of the most famous buildings. Right. So I think it was a really neat activity and worth it.
Right. Everybody thinks Tower Bridge is London Bridge, which is funny because London Bridge is just this very underwhelming plain bridge.
Right.
So funny. But the Tower Bridge experience is included in the Go City Pass if you were interested in that. But again, it's very, very cheap. We just didn't have time. If I had had a lot of time, you could really stack a lot of these cheap activities and then it would be worth it. But if you're going to go for the Go City Pass and you only have a small amount of time, my recommendation is definitely to go for the more expensive activities so that you're really maximizing that pass.
For sure.
So you also did a big bus tour, you said. How was your experience on that tour? Was this a double-decker bus tour, like a hop-on, hop-off kind of thing?
Yes, yes. And the brand that we did is the Big Bus Tour. So there's several different brands. I think one is called a Toot Bus, maybe. You'll see a couple different ones in London, but the Big Bus is the name brand of the one that we chose to do. And I like a hop-on and hop-off bus tour. In general, that's something I enjoy. I like listening to the commentary as you're driving around a city. I am a supporter of these sometimes, depending on the situation. It was nice for us. We liked it. However, the commentary was wild. I don't know. I think they wanted it to be funny and more interesting, but it was just weird. They talked about hangings, like hangings in the old days when people need to be executed so many times. In the one, it wasn't just they joked about Londoners love a good hanging. And they had this whole sound effects and people cheering, chanting for more hangings. And we heard that more than once on our tour. And the first time it was so random and that it was funny. And then I was like, okay, I got it. Let's learn about something else. I don't know. I felt like the commentary for Big Bus Tours was not what I was hoping for. I rated the commentary a little lower. That's my review. I think if I did it again, I would choose a different company. So maybe try a different
company. Good to know. Do you remember how much you guys spent for that?
I do. It was $145 for the whole family.
Okay. And was it a full day? Like you can just get off wherever you want. And then when you're ready to hop back on, there's one that comes every 10 or 15 minutes. Or how does that work?
Absolutely. Yep. That's exactly how it works. And we did notice first thing in the morning, the bus we hopped on was super empty. At some of the more popular stops during the middle of the day, now this was a weekend, it was not during the week, it was high season, it was the weekend, they needed some more buses in circulation because there were a couple moments that thankfully we had a seat, but there were people who got on who definitely could not get a seat and could not access the commentary because they couldn't plug in their headphones. I would have been frustrated if that was me and I had paid money to do this. So that's a downside, and I don't know that it's always a problem. Again, it was a weekend, high season. Maybe that was the issue, but it was an issue. It definitely, I think, frustrated some people. If you're booking something like this, again, I would also recommend that you book it through Viator or TripAdvisor, through a shopping portal like Rakuten, some way that you can get some extra cash back or points back. So we made sure anything that we booked for this whole trip that was an activity like this, we booked it through Rakuten, through Viator so that we could get back. We would do it on days that maybe you get 20% back at Viator or at least say 15% back in points at Viator. So just keep that in mind with any activity that you choose when you're traveling.
100%. And I know people are always like worried about the like pay later option that they won't get their points. But I am just here to say that two times now for San Diego and for Mexico, I booked the book now pay later through Rakuten at like a 20x or I think a 15x for my most recent trip. And I have gotten a check mark that those points are pending. And I got the points for the San Diego trip. So you truly can pay later and you will get your points, but screenshot everything as you're booking it just in case. It's fairly easy to come after Rakuten for them to give you points that you are owed if they somehow don't track that. Okay, so you guys, something I love about the way you travel is your playground stops. You have built this in. No matter where you are, you find these amazing playgrounds. You let your kids stop, burn off some energy. It's such a good idea. And so there are some really cool playgrounds, it turns out, in London. And actually, it's funny. One of the ones that you went to, I was going to tell you about because we walked right past it on our Kensington Gardens tour. And then I forgot. But our tour guide told us you are physically not allowed to go in that playground unless you have children.
Yeah.
Like they will not allow people in there without kids. And I was like, ooh, I love this. And it looked so secluded, like behind a little garden fence type area. I couldn't even hardly see in. So anyways, I'm not going to spoil which one that was. You can talk about it. But tell us about the playgrounds that you found in London and why you like them.
Yeah, we are big playground people when we travel. After our trip to four different countries, my kids had us do rankings of what we liked about all of the places. We ranked the food, the cleanliness of the city. Playgrounds was one of the pieces that we ranked. And London ranks high for playgrounds. There are some really great options. There is one near Buckingham Palace. So one morning we went to Buckingham Palace first, and then we walked around the palace, the park around the palace a little bit. There's a Princess Diana Memorial Walk, and then you come up on St. James Park Playground. This was a wonderful little playground right near Buckingham Palace. In fact, there's a nice view for pictures that kind of cuts through, and you can see the corner of Buckingham Palace while you're at this playground. Really enjoyed it. So that's a good stop when you go to Buckingham Palace to burn off some steam. Then the playground that you're speaking of over near Kensington Palace, it was just as magical as you thought it would be. The Princess Diana Memorial Playground, you do have to, they have a guard standing at a gate and you're only allowed through. It's completely free. You can come into play, but any adult has to be with a child to come into the playground, which is wonderful. It's also nice that it is gated because it's really fun. It has all of these passageways and hedges and things. So there's different areas, there's different pockets of the playground. So here there's in the middle, there's like this big pirate ship. And then there's a little tucked away area that has some cool swings. And then there's a little tucked away area that has sheep, like metal sheep you can climb on and little hidden parts.
Love it.
It's just magical for imagination as a kid.
Yes.
But you definitely want that. You could lose your kid in there a little bit. There was a moment that I couldn't find Violet for a hot second and I had to go wandering around. We kind of split up to look for her. But because it's generally all fenced in, you know, you felt pretty good that if you have a runner, they didn't go off too far. Another thing I like about that playground is there's free bathrooms, which, as you mentioned
on your
London Part 1 episode, can be hard to come by in London. There's also...
I have a tip. Don't let me forget.
Okay.
Continue.
There's also a snack shack where you can get coffee, hot chocolates, little food. So it was actually pretty chilly while we were in London. Big tip, please. Even if you are going in July in the first week of August like us... pack a sweatshirt for everybody because we were cold. And I got my kids hot chocolate at the little snack shack outside that playground. So that playground definitely got a solid A. And we are, you know, we're stingy with our ratings. There was only one playground on our trip that got an A+, but this was the only one that got an A after an A+. So very good playground. Love that one. There's also a playground that I mentioned on Instagram closer to the Shard. If you go up in the Shard in London, it was a fantastic little neighborhood playground too. They're just really cool elements in a lot of these playgrounds. They're more creative than playgrounds in America.
Yes. Why are our playgrounds so boring and plastic and red and awful?
Yes. Our playgrounds have lost their danger, Joanna.
They sure have.
Danger sure have. Is an element
the
when
metal
grading playgrounds.
The metal slides on the playgrounds that I was on growing up that went straight down and were like three stories tall.
Yes.
Bring it back. Bring it back. Bring back the concussions and the broken arms.
Our kids are too soft, Joanna. They need to toughen
up. Yeah, they really are. Let's harden them up. Harden them up. Near the Princess Diana Memorial Playground, as you mentioned, is Kensington Palace. And while you do have to pay to go inside to tour the palace, you can go in their orangery and their cafe for free and walk around the grounds for free. And it is not that far of a walk from this playground. So if you're over there with your kids already and you've got time, their scones are incredible with clotted cream. So absolutely delicious. A great little snack. Now, obviously, this place has a snack shack, so it's not like you'd need anything, but it is just so beautiful and it's free. And you get to walk around this beautiful
sunken garden.
Yes, with the statue of Princess Diana in it. And it's just really special and really lovely. So that's right nearby.
The first time I went to London, that garden is what I remembered more than anything else for my trip. That garden was what struck me and what I found the most magical of my entire first trip to London. And so I made sure we went back there. We actually recreated. We had a picture of because the first time we went to London, my son was 4 months old. He's 12 now. Mm. We had a picture of my husband holding him up at that sunken garden when he's 4 months old. And so I made them recreate that. And we have a picture of him holding my 12-year-old in his arms like a baby outside that garden again. So yes, definitely. I love that area around Kensington Palace.
Yeah, it's so, so, so stunning. I think it was my favorite of all of the kind of natural places in London that we saw. That was by far my favorite area. Okay, so you also went to the viral Borough Market. And oh, wait, I almost forgot the tip about the bathroom that I was going to tell you, that I told you not to let me forget, and you did not remind me.
Well, you
I'm reminding myself.
The ADHD.
No. Okay, so guys, we started a TikTok, which, you know, shameless plug, go follow us. I still can't figure out the TikTok algorithm. It's a crazy thing, but, you know, we're trying. It's pretty much all the same things that we post on Instagram. But one of the London reels that we posted actually did quite well and has had a lot of comments. And it's the one about finding a bathroom via the Flush app in the Fortnum & Mason store. And people are coming out of the woodwork to tell me that you can always find a free bathroom in a pub. And I kept telling people, I'm sorry, I was traveling with my child. I'm not taking my child in a pub. And people are like, kids go to the pubs all the time. It's not like a pub here in America. When we say that, we think a bar. We think 21 and up, smoky, gross, would never in a million years take my kids there. Pub stands for public house, is what I've been told in the comments. And they are family places in London. Anytime you have a pub, you have full access to walk straight in there and use their bathroom for free. So, hot tip, you can use the Flush app, and I personally find that to be very easy, and I prefer going into a beautiful grocery store over a pub, but you can take your kids into pubs if it's an emergency. So,
and they
do
happen. Potty breaks happen.
Potty breaks happen. I have just had so many people comment on this reel to tell me that. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry. Like in America, you don't take your kids in a pub to go to the bathroom. That's horrifying. Those bathrooms are disgusting. I would never. Anyways, okay. Had to say that. Moving on. You went to Borough Market. Okay. I need to know. Was it horrible and packed and crawling with people and no one should ever, ever go there like the internet says, but not like I experienced?
No. It was a Saturday morning. It was high season. And it was fine. I mean, I knew that it would get crowded. So I said, I want to be there when it opens. Okay. I need us to be there when it opens. And we were. So it was fine. We walked straight up to the donut stand, got our donuts. Yep. I would have loved to linger longer and really walk through all of the different stalls. If I was traveling with you, I would have done that. You know, we would have really lingered there. I was not. I was with what I call my professional wanters. That is children who every single place that they see something, they want it. As do I, really. But as an adult, you learn to keep it on the inside, right? We're not. But I couldn't spend that much time there with my kids because they were going to want absolutely everything. So we just got what we came for. We're not overwhelmed by any kind of crowd. And it was lovely. It was so cute. The lights hanging up. It has so much charm.
I know. I know. And those donuts, my goodness. Had you had those before?
No. At Bread Ahead is the name of the place that has the famous donuts.
Yes. And they are, I mean, I know I described them in my episode, but I'm just blown away by how things in Europe are not sickeningly sweet. They've just got this lovely, perfectly balanced sweetness that is not like anything you can find here. And it tastes like they made the cream filling in the back room 5 minutes ago. And it's just, I'm obsessed. So I hope your kids liked them. My kid sort of liked it, but is obviously addicted to American levels of sweetness.
Yes.
Was not as impressed. Was that your kids' experience too?
No, they were okay. My son is not, he doesn't have much of a sweet tooth. So he's not quite as addicted to that high level of sweetness. Like, in fact, he got a smoothie at one point and was like, this is awful because it was so sweet and he's used to really not sweet. Now my daughter's different and I'm different. We like our sweet things and high levels of sweetness. But we thought they were all good. One of the ones we got was lemon. I probably wouldn't recommend the lemon one. It was a little too much.
Okay.
So that wasn't my favorite, but the other ones we got were all delicious.
Yeah. I think salted caramel honeycomb or something like that is the one that stood out for all of us as top tier guys. But see, this is now 2 out of 2 of us have been to Borough Market, me on a weekday, you on a literal Saturday in high season. So don't listen to the haters on the internet that are telling you that Borough Market is absolutely destroyed and crawling with people and ruined forever and you should never go there, because that was not either of our experience. So people can just stuff it.
Stuff it right in their donut hole.
Right? That was very appropriate. Well-timed. Okay. Speaking of wanting, your professional wanters, I took my professional wanter to the top of Selfridges to their toy wonderland, but you took your kids to Hamley's toy store, which sounds so spectacular.
It is. It's really nice. So if you've ever heard, Hamley's is the world's oldest toy store. It dates back to 1760, which is completely insane. It is so old. It dates back so long. 7 floors of magical toyness. So we went there. Now, obviously, we were not going to make them go into 7 floors of toy store and not let them pick out something. So this was a situation where we said, okay, you pick out one thing. Each person can pick out one thing. I would recommend you put a cap on that price as well. But they had a great time. It was really fun. If you have a stroller, it's a little tricky. I will say we had a Big Bob stroller, which works great, but the elevator situation there was tough. We took that stroller up a lot of escalators. We were those people, not with the child in the stroller, but yes, the whole place has escalators. There is an elevator, but you have to wait on it forever. And we weren't willing to do that. So just something to keep in the back of your head. But it is great. If you have kids, you have to go there. It is magical. Just go ahead and allot some money to say that they can pick out one thing.
Right. Have you seen the movie Mr. Magorium's Wonder Emporium?
No.
Do you remember that?
Natalie Portman. Sounds familiar, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's pretty old at this point. But that, when I looked at the pictures of Hamleys, I was like, that is what this makes me think that was like modeled after. It's just this magical toy shop. It looked so amazing.
The thing I can think of in America was FAO Schwartz in New York.
Yeah.
You know, was famous for so long. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks incredible. I already had enough tough time with the Jellycat cost at Selfridges, so I'm actually kind of glad I didn't even know this place existed. Okay, so you guys also did an Uber boat ride, which I did included in the Go City Pass. You get a full day pass as you can choose as part of your Go City. You guys didn't, obviously you paid for it separately, and it's still super affordable and amazing. So did you do a full day pass, or did you just do like one, like a section? How much did you pay, and what did you think of it?
We just did one ride on the Uber boat. For the family of five, it was $39.85, so less than $10 a person. Any activity that's less than $10 a person, I consider a pretty affordable activity. So if you really want to build an affordable trip, this is a fun activity to do for a low cost. So it's kind of, it's like a water taxi, right? People are getting on and off, but you can just ride it as a boat ride. You're not going to get commentary, someone standing there telling you about the city, but you do ride past all of the famous buildings along the river. So we got on near Big Ben, which is at Westminster Pier Stop. And we rode it all the way down to North Greenwich, which is where London has a big arena, the O2 Arena, where they have lots of shows, concerts, that kind of thing. So we rode it all the way. I want to say it was about an hour boat ride. And so it was great. It was very chill. We just kind of looked at things as we passed. We probably could have done a shorter. At some point, I was like, okay, why are we going all the way this far? But my husband wanted to see the arena. That arena has where people can climb on top of it is an activity. We didn't do that activity, but we did see people climbing to the top of the arena. And there's lots of restaurants and activity around the arena. So in the end, it was cool to see that. Probably we could have gotten off a lot of stops sooner, but it was nice. It was a lovely evening activity. It was kind of the last thing we did in the day. And then we hopped on the train, went back to the Airbnb. So I do recommend you do it, some amount of it, even if you do a shorter ride. But it's affordable and cool to get out on the river, go under Tower Bridge, you know, all of that stuff.
Yes. Yeah, it's great. And it's amazing at sunset. And I think I forgot to mention that there are actually like snacks and drinks on board if you want to spring for those. Did you guys book it in advance, or did you just walk up to the boat and like pay for your passage right then and there?
I think everyone knows the answer to that, Joe. And that is that spreadsheet master Jared paid for it in advance. And so we had a set time and all these things. I don't even know if we had to go at the set time. Some things he had a set time, but then it was a little freer. We could have walked up and bought a ticket for sure. I mean, there was someone selling tickets there. It's not the kind of thing that gets sold out. You know, we were again there in high season. I've said that over and over again. So it's just a nice picture of, even if you go there on a weekend in the busy season, we could have walked up and bought a ticket.
Yeah. I want to mention something else I forgot to mention in my episode, of which is that if you get on near the like beginning of the line, the beginning of the stops, you will be able to get one of those fantastic outside seats, because there are seats inside, but then there are also a few seats that are open air and have these beautiful views where you're not looking through the window. You're actually seeing them out and about. Now, if it was chilly when you went, which it was not when I went, maybe that would be freezing. It felt amazing outside when we were there. As it continues, it picks up people at stops along the way, and those spots fill up super, super quick. So depending, I mean, on which way you're going, that's, you know, it might either be the start or the beginning. Whatever end you're starting on, I would recommend going as far towards the end of the line as possible to start, just to try to get those seats That's my personal opinion. I thought they were beautiful and amazing. My
daughter sat outside too.
Sat inside.
Oh, really? Well, I was surprised by the windows inside were actually really beautiful. At least the boat we were on, they were big. They went up into the ceiling. So you still got really nice views of the city. But we were outside on the back. My family wanted to be outside. I kind of wanted to be inside. Maybe me and Juliet could have been together inside.
She said it was going to mess up her hair. I just didn't like the windows were a little dirty when we were there. Maybe the end of the day and kids putting their hands on them or whatever. And I naturally am trying to take videos and I don't want to take them through a dirty window, even though people like to point out that I never clean my camera lens. So it always looks like a dirty window.
I don't know who would point that out to you. That is so rude. It would certainly not be me.
It was more than just you. And that's what really makes it bad. I think I could handle it if it was just one person. I'm trying, guys. I'm trying to get better. I don't know how it gets dirty literally every 5 seconds.
Friends, don't let friends post blurry videos. Okay, people? It's out of love. And so this is also a good tip. When you are taking pictures of your family on vacation, get in the habit of using your shirt and cleaning your phone lens every single time before you take a picture. Every single time. Otherwise, you will come back with some foggy videos.
True. True story. Okay, were there any memorable dining experiences? I know you said you got groceries, which it's amazing that your Airbnb had a grocery store nearby. Ours did not. I wish that that is something that I had researched ahead of time. That would have been very helpful and cut down on some costs. So what about you? What kind of stuff did you guys eat outside the groceries?
Yeah, I wouldn't say London is all that known for their food, right? I mean, nobody's like, oh, the UK has the best food. But we did want to eat at a pub and have a traditional English meal. So on Sunday, we were there on a Sunday at Trafalgar Square. There is a pub right there on the square called the Admiralty. Admiralty? Like Admiral, kind of. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but it's ship theme on the inside. Very cool vibe. Aww. They had a special Sunday menu. We had a Sunday roast and they had a kids meal. My son got fish and chips. So we had the most, tried to have a very British Sunday meal. And that was a fun location for it too, to be right there on that square. And it was not crazy overpriced either. I mean, it was I will link the menu because it's always, we try to look at menus anytime we're traveling. We look at the menu ahead of time because we typically choose our restaurants before we even go on the trip. We know where we're going to eat unless we have a last minute change of plans. But that way we don't find ourselves in a moment where we're starving and we don't know where we're going to eat and we end up paying too much for something because we were desperate. We look ahead of time so we know what we're getting ourselves into with the prices and for budgeting purposes. So you can look it up yourself, see if it can fit in your budget. It's not terribly expensive. It's reasonable for what it is.
Yes, except that after that exchange rate, everything is unreasonable. It's annoying. But, oh, that was another thing I forgot to mention in my episode. Guys, the prices are what the prices are. The tax is already in the price that you're looking at. And that is so nice. You go to a grocery store, you buy food, you're booking an activity. Everything is the price that you see written down already. It's not that there are no taxes. It's just that they've already put it in the number you're seeing. So it's very different than here where you're like, oh, this menu item is $15. That's great. And then, of course, it's $18 or $19. What you see on the menu is the absolute total after all is said and done. So that does actually take a little bit of the sting out of it. And I meant to say that in my episode, but I did not. So something to consider there. Okay, this has actually gone on longer than I thought it would. So we have gone on too many tangents. But as we're wrapping up here, your trip was actually just getting started. And of course, we will be bringing everybody the amazing other places that you visited because you were only in London, what, 2 days?
2 days.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do? You're just getting started. How did you get to your next destination?
So leaving London, we did not hop on a plane. Instead, we hopped on a train, the Eurostar train, to Paris. Our next stop was France, and we had several days in France. One thing that I thought was surprising with the Eurostar train when we were planning, my husband said, I looked it up and they said you have to be at the train station 2 hours early. And we rode trains all around Switzerland last year. And, you know, you kind of walk up, you get right on the train. It's fast. You don't have to typically be at a train station all that early, really just right before your train arrives and or is going to leave. But the 2 hours early, it's because UK left the EU, and I don't, you know, I'm not an expert on any of these things, but because of that, there's passport control and security similar to an airport. So you're leaving the UK, you're going to France. They need to fully check passports and full security. Now, on the other side of things, when we were in France and we went to the Netherlands, we went to Belgium, there was absolutely no checking of any kind of passport, no nothing. You could commute from one country to the next every single day if you wanted. You know, there was nothing. You had no idea even that you left one country and went to another. But when you're leaving London, if you're hopping on that train to Paris, don't think that you can just roll up 5 minutes before your train and leave. You do need to leave time to go through security and passport checks and all that good stuff.
Wow. And did it actually take a couple of hours to do all of that?
It didn't take a couple hours, but the lines were there. I mean, we definitely did have to wait in a long winding line. And so we were glad that we heeded that caution. I don't know that we got there a full 2 hours early. Could have been closer to an hour and a half, but I definitely, you don't want to stress that and feel like you're going to miss your train. So just don't play around with that too much.
Okay. And guys, we're not exactly sure when the next part will come out, but pretty soon here, we will be picking back up in Paris. So thank you for sharing your London experience with us. I love that we both did same amount of days in the same city, and yet it is completely different. I love it. So fun.
It really is. We had a great time. London is a wonderful city for families. It's also a nice start to a European trip because English, right, is widely used. It's a little bit different, British English, than the English we use, but you can still understand and communicate very easily with everyone. So it kind of helped our family adjust to Europe. Like step one is the baby step, still speaks English. And then we went on to step two and three, where it was completely different languages. So London was a wonderful first start to our trip. And it's a wonderful place to visit, even if you don't go anywhere else and you just stay in London. There's so much to do. You're going to have a great time. It's a wonderful city.
Yep. Oh, it's amazing. I would love to go back, spend more time, do more activities, and probably maybe without my professional wanter. Let's do it.
Let's sign
up. Yes. Okay. Well, guys, thanks for joining us today. Be sure you head over to our Facebook group and join us there. It's a great place to ask questions and be part of a community that's learning how to travel for less out of pocket. It is a great place to reach us. You can also find us over on our Instagrams. And if you would not mind, wherever you are listening to this podcast, if you would follow or subscribe and give us a rating and a review, that really helps us get into the ears of other people so that they can too learn the incredible blessing of traveling on points and miles. We will see you here next time.
Bye, guys.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.